So, I said we're in Acts 1. This is, we finished up John, and Romans is my favorite book in the Bible, by far my favorite book, and I've wanted so bad just to jump to Romans, and just couldn't do it for some reason. Prayed about it, and tried to do it, can't do it. So, Acts is going to be a fun book to go through. I don't know how fast we'll go through it. But it's interesting because Acts, you know, there's going to be a big divide on what people think in the book of Acts because there, you got so many extremes. You have the extreme that, you know, none of that stuff in the book of Acts is for today. And then you also have the other extreme where it's just constant craziness, you know, that's a little bit overboard. And I just am dedicated to submitting to you guys the most balanced biblical view of the book of Acts I can and just hope you guys are discerning and testing everything I say, and looking at scripture, and it's going to be fun, so I hope. Let's just go through it. I'm just going to glean some stuff out of here, but Acts 1, first couple verses, says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." Okay, he says that in the first book. Just quick reminders, who wrote the book of Acts? Did someone say Luke? I didn't hear anyone say anything. Okay, Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. So this is like part two of his book of Luke. It just has a little bit of overlap if you look into it, just a little tiny bit. And but yeah, this is his book. And it starts off with this deal where Jesus died, and that's already, you know, known. He died, and he rose again, and he starts to appear to him. And he does some stuff, and then he ascends to heaven, and then Pentecost comes where he pours out the Holy Spirit. We all know that. So just to give you a little bit of a timetable, so Jesus dies, and then who remembers? I probably just read it, but who remembers how many days did he rose again, and he stayed, and he talked to his disciples about the kingdom for how many days? Anyone remember that? 40. It's probably the next verse, but we were about to read it. So 40 days. And then Pentecost is going to be what's next, where he pours out the Holy Spirit. And so how many days is that? I had to look that one up. It was it's actually another 10 days after he ascended about, because Pentecost means 50 days, right? It goes back to the Old Testament. It was called the Feast of, or the Festival of Weeks, which is like 7 weeks, which is 49 days. So but it all ties together. It's all the same thing, Pentecost, Festival of Weeks. And so 50 days after Jesus died is where we're at in this beginning of the book of Acts, okay? Just to give you a timetable. We read verse 3, where it probably says some of this. It says, "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." So those 40 days, he had a couple main purposes. He's going to present himself as alive, that he's really alive. He's going to show himself, and he's going to let them, you know, touch his hand. You know, he's going to do miracles again, and he's proving that he's really raised from the dead. And the second thing is he has specific things to talk to them about the kingdom of God. And then, lastly, verse 4, the last thing he really did, and this is really important. Verse 4 says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them," okay, says he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." I just want you to think about how that word ordered just really stood off the page to me in studying this out, that he ordered them to wait for the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's a command, okay? It's a really, really big deal. It's a command, a strong command, that you wait on the Holy Spirit, that you wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you wait to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, okay? And I'm going to get into why here in a second, but it's just so valuable to get that in your mind, that Jesus ordered these guys, that you have to wait on this. Don't just immediately go into mission. You just saw all this miraculous stuff. Don't just immediately go tell people about it. I order you to wait, to be empowered, to do what you need to do. Really big deal. So verse 6 then goes on, and these guys have a question. He says, so when they had come together, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Okay, is that a reasonable question? Some yes, some no, maybe. I think it's reasonable. And I think it's reasonable because I think they know their Bible and they know the Old Testament. And you'd be surprised, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit poured out, that's not just a New Testament thing. That's prophesied about in the Old Testament all the way back to the Torah in Leviticus, to Isaiah, to the minor prophets. It's constantly prophesied about God pouring out His Spirit and at that time Him doing great things and bringing His kingdom. And so they get that. They get that, okay, you're about to pour out your Spirit. They're excited. They know that they're right in the middle of the time that's been prophesied about over and over and over again. And they're thinking, so is this the time? Is it the same thing when Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit and when He fully establishes His kingdom? Is that the same thing? And Jesus' answer is something we all have to get in our minds. He says in verse 7, He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Okay? That's, if we could just accept that answer, you know, man, just, I hate that so much in one hand, you know, that Jesus says something like that. It's not for you to know. Why can't He just tell me? Why can't He just tell me the answers to these hard questions I try to figure out? But He says that. He says, it's not for you to know. The Father set that date on His own authority. It's not for you to know, but you do have this. But you do have, you're going to have power, and that's all you need to know, that you're getting power from this, and you're going to be able to be a witness in the whole world because of this. That's all you need to know. So He's saying that to these guys, and that answer's got to be enough for me, too, and it's got to be enough for you. And I thought of a few examples. But one is just like this whole end times thing, because I love the end times, and I think a lot of people love the end times and are fascinated by it, and it's one of the main selling Christian, you know, topics as far as books and everything is end time stuff. It's, I think it's one of the top two. The other one's heaven, I think. But they have this thing where we're just fascinated by end times. And really, I was thinking about it and prayed about it. And I've honestly been let down by about 100%, I think, of people I know prophesying about. We've been let down 100% of the time. Some teacher we like says, I think the end times is in about this time. And then that time passes, and we're like, I really respected that guy. Where'd he go wrong? And it's just because continually, Jesus is still, His answer is, it's not for you to know times or seasons. He gives us some hints, and He leaves us a little bit to pay attention to, but it's still not, there's not going to be any one of us who ever figure out the date and know what year and know when, and I hope for the rest of my life, if someone says, when's the Lord coming back, I'll say, it's not for me to know the time or the season, but I do know this, He's given us the Holy Spirit, He's empowered us, and He's gave us mission to do, and that's exactly what He wants us to focus on. And I get so distracted because I love the return of the Lord, and I long for it like we all should. So here on one hand, I hope you guys all long increasingly for the return of the Lord, and I hope none of you try to figure it out. I hope that your longing for the Lord doesn't lead you to try to figure out dates and times and trying to find weird things in the Old Testament that you're secretly going to uncover that tells you when Jesus is coming back. I hope that your longing for the Lord gives you like this urgency where you're like, I've got to do mission. That's what I got to do. I don't need to be sitting here trying to figure this out. I've got to do mission because that's why he's given me that. That's all I know. It's all I need to know. I have ability to do mission because of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, just this whole thing, I don't know if I should get into this, but it kind of goes the same thing. It's not just end times. It's like one of the most, my main question in my Christian walk is how much has the Lord established His kingdom right now? And what do I mean by that question? It's like there's a million topics under that, but it's like there's arguments like has the Lord healed today? Of course He heals today. Okay, does the Lord heal today every time? Okay, we get these questions, and I know there's a million different thoughts about it, but it's just like, and really the question is, when I ask questions like that, okay, the Lord has brought His kingdom, is His kingdom fully here now? You know, what, Obviously, it's not fully here. This isn't God's full kingdom, you know? And obviously, it's here somewhat. So what level, though? Where in there is how much has the Lord really established his kingdom? And under that, how much is do we have rule over sickness? How much do we have rule over, you know, all this stuff? It's just so many questions inside of that. And I just got to say the same thing. Because of this verse, instead of, see, I can spend hours and days and weeks and just trying to figure out, okay, how much, you know? And if I just stopped asking myself how much and trying to figure that out, what if I just did mission and just went out and just trusted I was empowered and did what I was called to do? And, you know, and as I'm doing it, the Lord answers and brings his kingdom in that area. Amen. And if he doesn't, okay, I'm going to keep praying and keep seeking him. But you see the difference? I can get so focused on these other things and do nothing. And the whole time I should be so focused on mission because he's empowered me. That's the point of the Holy Spirit. So verse 8, keep going, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. I wish everyone in here who's insecure about being an evangelist or a witness or a disciple, I wish you would just get that in your mind that it's him that has empowered you, okay? We all feel insecure in some ways. I don't, if I'm called to go evangelize to Dave, I'm going to feel insecure about it, you know? I'm just going to feel insecure. I'm not going to feel worthy. I'm going to look at my sin. I'm going to say I don't know enough. And every one of us has that. But I got to say, you've empowered me. You empowered, gave me power. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know how much. I don't know how it works. But I know because of his word, he's gave me power to be a witness. And if I could just get my faith in that, okay? That's all you need. That's all everyone in this room needs. You know, Colin, he's gave you power. That's enough. So you just go, okay? You just go. And man, that's so simple. And that's truly what it is to let him work through you, because now you're just like, I don't know, I'm going to go. And I have faith, and just as I go, he's going to work through me. And, you know, that's, man, the Holy Spirit is just amazing. It's amazing that we have that. We have him. So I made that point that they waited, you know, they sat in this, they don't leave, they don't go tell people. They got in their hearts that they had to wait. They had to wait on the Holy Spirit. They had to wait on this empowering. And it's just the same thing. It's the same. You guys have to wait too. I mean, that's just another great lesson. You have to wait. Like I have to wait. You know, and say if Colin is feeling really insecure and doesn't know what to do, and if you just spend a few days waiting, you see this simple order. You know, God does it. I wait on him. He empowers me. I go without knowing what I'm doing. And he just answers. And he does all these amazing things in the book of Acts, because Acts 1 starts out like this. They wait, they empower, they go. That's the simple formula. But like this, like this teaching, I have to wait. Like I study and I pray, you know. But the best thing I do in getting these lessons ready isn't even my studying or my praying, it's my waiting, okay? I do. That's why I spend the most time on. That's why it can be so frustrating. And because I wait for, I say, here's what I'm talking about, God, I think, you know, here's the people, I pray for you guys, I pray for me, I pray for all this, and then it's like I just sit and wait on the Lord. And sometimes hours go by, I really mean this, sometimes hours go by, and then I get one phrase after waiting 2 hours, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, and I write that down, and then it just keeps going and going, but it's all that comes from waiting. And you know, and it's the same thing. I mean, even you guys listening. I mean, I wish I was better at this. But, it's like, I'm about to hear the word of God. Sam's going to come. I know he's going to preach the word. And I know my mind can't comprehend it, you know. Just on my own, I can't comprehend it. I need the Spirit's help. And it's almost like I need to be like, Lord, help me. I want to spend some time waiting on a Sunday morning before church. It's like, Lord, help me, empower me to understand your scripture so I would know your son more, because I can't do this. But if we all just had that mindset where we are more reliant on the Spirit to empower us to do the most simple things in our walk. And it's one other example I wrote was, just even in this teaching thing, just learning the mind checks, that's what, like, what I mean by that. You get these checks from the Holy Spirit, you know, don't do this, don't say, I get them all the time when I'm teaching. Like, I'm starting to go a path I wanted to go, and it's like, you get this little, like, don't do that, you know, don't say that. And 100% of the time, if I blew through that and did it anyway, I got in trouble, you know, because of something I said. But you get those when you're teaching. And I had this desire to teach from the time I got saved. And, you know, that's 12 years ago. 12 years burned in my heart to teach. And I've only got to teach, really, you know, pretty recently. And sometimes I wondered why. Why can't, you know, why isn't there opportunity? Why isn't there more chances? But just because, and one of the main reasons I realized yesterday is because I had to learn to wait. I had to learn to wait on the Lord. I could have gave lessons, sure, you know, and the Spirit probably would have anointed most of them, you know, but I had to learn to wait on the Lord. You know, there's, you know, I would have blew through a lot of these checks 5 years ago if the Lord would have allowed me to teach, and I would have had some good and a lot of bad, because you learn this dependence on the Lord moment to moment, you know. Just, and I'm in the process of learning, and you guys are probably a lot better at me than me about it, but there's this process where you learn to be so reliant on what the Holy Spirit's doing and saying to the point of he gives you the slightest little check or the slightest little leading, and you obey it, and instead of just going to do what I think I should do or want to do or think needs done, now it's like, you know, Holy Spirit, what are you leading me to do? Word to word, moment to moment, and person to person. You know, Dave's at work and he sees a person that has a, just drawn to him, and that's enough. You know, I gotta go talk to this guy. It's not Dave's mind overruling anymore. It's, I'm gonna go talk to this guy because I feel a leading, sink or swim, you know. So yeah, just this learning to wait being the first thing, and then letting everything else come from that. And that's really what that is that's like Proverbs 3 when it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll make your paths straight. That's what that is. It's just learning to acknowledge him in everything, every word, every area. And to wrap this up, let's see, verse 9. It says, and when he has said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Okay, pretty amazing. And 10, and while they were gazing into heaven, and he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Okay? Again, it's kind of like saying, don't just stand here and gaze. Don't just stand here and look. Don't just stand here and think about it. Okay? They're making the point. It's like, don't just stand here. Go get on with what you're supposed to be doing. He's going to come again. He's going to come again at the right time. You're not going to miss it, okay? He's going to come again. Don't just stand here. Go, okay? Get going. And then we get this, just a couple little things where, I mean, we don't get much because we have Jesus for this period of time, and then we have this Holy Spirit for this huge long time, and we don't get much example of what it was like in between the two, you know, those few days of what it was like in between Jesus and Holy Spirit. And so, but we do get this. We get that in verse 12, it says that then they returned to Jerusalem, so they obeyed the command. They went and did some things. Judas goes on to kill himself, which I'm not going to talk about, but is pretty interesting if you study that out, what really happened to him. But we get this, okay, since Judas killed himself, they had to replace him, and this is down in verse 21. They knew their Old Testament. They knew some prophecies that said, let another take his office, so they knew they needed to replace him. 21 says, so one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. They put forward two, Joseph called Barsabas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry of an apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go his own place. And they cast lots for them, and they fell, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, that's kind of a weird story. because you don't see that anywhere else in the New Testament. And actually, there's a church over here that wanted to do this, that, well, some people in there wanted to do it, and I was thinking, this is how crazy that was. I hope I don't offend anyone. I don't know what anyone else thinks of this. But they were wanting to replace some people in their positions in the church, and they were wanting to cast lots. And I just remember thinking, that's just so weird. And the reason why it's weird to me is just because, you know, they cast lots, and that was perfectly okay, because Proverbs 16 says it's okay. It says something like, cast your lots, and it's what's going to happen is going to be from the Lord. If you don't know what casting lots is, it's pretty much like drawing straws, I think, and there's a short and a long, and it determines, you know, who's going to get what position. But yeah, it's in between. It's before the Holy Spirit. I think it's okay for them to do it, but now they have one better, okay? We don't need to cast lots right now to try to, and I think the Lord will be sovereign in it. We don't need to do it because we have a living God inside of us, okay? That's why it's so weird for me to think that there's a church doing that, because it's just like we need this wake up. Do you not know that God is alive in you? You can do better than casting a lot now and hoping and maybe having some doubt that was the right answer. You have God living, speaking, moving, leading in you. I think stuff like that happens because we don't get that. We need to wake up. We need to wake up that every day I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have Him speaking. He's speaking right now. He's alive, okay? He's not coming and going. I had another church I was at preach that. That's that the Holy Spirit's coming and going and easily offended, and He's here and there, and I'm praying for Him to come, and sometimes He shows up, sometimes He doesn't, you know? And it's like, hold on. Well, Acts 2:33, if I just turn the page, it says, being Jesus was exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that yourselves are seeing or hearing. What that means is that Jesus, because He was exalted, He gets the Holy Spirit, and He pours out the Holy Spirit, and it was all about Him, okay? That means it wasn't about me and what I was doing. So my faith that I have the Holy Spirit is based on the fact that Jesus was exalted. And Jesus was exalted because He died on a cross. And so me knowing that I have the Holy Spirit is based on this, it's just faith that Jesus died for me. My faith in the cross and what He's done, okay, that's what I need to know I have the Holy Spirit. That's how I know He's not coming and going. I know the Holy Spirit never leaves me. We have this thing where we pray for revival, and we think that's just where the Holy Spirit just comes, you know, like He just comes and he, that's kind of what we think. We just have this thinking, and really, you know what revival is? When we have these awesome times and the Holy Spirit's moving like crazy and we're seeing all these awesome things, revival is just where lots of people in the same place at the same time wake up, you know, to what the Holy Spirit is already doing. It's not like He just comes and shows up all of a sudden. He's already been there. And He's already been alive and working in these Christians, but people wake up at the same time and we have revival, okay? See, you see the difference? Not the Holy Spirit coming and going. It's the Holy Spirit was here and people experience Him, and see, you know? And so, but I want to end with that, just this simple thing again about faith in Jesus dying on the cross being the key to me walking in the Spirit and knowing the Spirit and having the Spirit move freely in my life. It's just simply based on faith in Jesus, okay? We're going to be so tempted to think, I screwed up yesterday, the Holy Spirit's left me, He's not going to use me this week. What is that? I mean, where is that? It's faith in Jesus who gave it to me, gave Him to me, okay? He's not leaving. And so, I just want to leave you guys with that. I pray so much for you guys. That's as true of a thing as I can say. I pray a lot for you guys. Pray for each person here to have just one little individual revelation. I don't care if it's just one sentence I said, you know. Just one little revelation of Jesus that would just empower you, you know. I don't care if you got my whole lesson. I want you to have just this much more Jesus every time. And I pray for you guys to have that. So, pray for you guys again. I pray for empowering. I pray for each one just to see Jesus, to see the Holy Spirit, to know Him more, to be empowered to do a mission this week that they wouldn't have been empowered to do before by knowing Jesus. Just pray for an increase. I pray for that revival that we talk about, where we wake up and we submit to the work of the Holy Spirit, and we see what He's already been doing in our lives, and just pray for increase in that. And thank You for everyone here, Father. Work deeply in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.